Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is once more again. Inspirational Wednesday. Tonight, February the 12th, 2014, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you on tonight. And it's such a good time to be with you because the weather here in New Orleans is very cold and wet. And you could come and listen to the Word of God in the comfort of your home. I would like to say thanks to God for allowing us this opportunity to come together to explore the Word of God, to hear from God through His Word, to allow the Holy Ghost to use the Word to strengthen us. I thank each and every one of you that take time out of your busy schedules to come and fellowship in the Word of God. God finds favor and grants favor for that because you constantly come and He's thankful, and so am I. And as always, the lesson tonight is going to come out of the Word of God. And for those who use their Bible and use it to follow through the lesson tonight is going to come from the book of Corinthians, the first book of Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 13. And the title of the lesson tonight is, God Never Allows More to Happen to You Than You Can Bear. God never allow more to happen to you than you can bear. So what I'm going to do right now is play some music. And once the music go off, we're going to come back and we're going to go straight in the Word of God. If anyone would like to pray, press the one button on your phone, and I'll let you into the studio, and you could do that. But remember, at the end of the show, if someone would like to give words of encouragement, to pray, ask for prayer, lead us in song, you may do so by pressing the one button on your phone. And right now, we're going to listen to a record called Grateful by Hezekiah Walker. Because, you know, we look in our lives and we should be able, and I'm sure everybody has something to be grateful for. And we have to be so careful to give, to be grateful for the things that God has given us. Because we are taught that one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. So we're going to listen at Hezekiah Walker with Grateful, and then we'll go straight into the lesson. Be blessed. Thank you. And that was Grateful by Hezekiah Walker. You know, sometimes I'm sitting around and life may not be going exactly like you want. And you wonder what is really going on. But you see, even in the midst of things that's going on in our lives, and it may be overwhelming us, and it may be, you know, overtaking us. But even in the midst of that, you can look at something to be grateful for. You know, when Jesus Christ came and God allowed him to die for our sins, our salvation is locked in. So if you cannot find anything to be grateful for, thank God tonight for his son, Jesus Christ. Be thankful for what God has done for us. Thank God for Jesus Christ. And as I say, the lesson tonight is God never allow more to happen to us than we can bear. And it's coming from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 1st through the 13th verse. And now it is time to pray. And I have my grandson in the studio tonight. And he want to pray. So, Madison, if you're in the studio tonight, I need you to press the one button on your phone. Hello? I don't know what's going on in the studio. Could someone out there press the one button on your phone so I can see what's happening? Well, it appears that for some reason, and I don't know what it is, that it's not letting me open the mic so that the callers could come in. So what I'm going to do is I'll just keep going because I think you guys, I'm almost sure because I could see that you're still on the line, but I can't open the mic for you to begin to talk. So what I'm going to do is go ahead on and pray, and we're going to go forth after that. So right now, Lord, we're just saying thank you. Lord, right now there's something going on, and I don't understand it, but I know you do. But, Lord, I'm just going to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for what you're about to do on tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to come together one more time to hear your word, dear God, to hear your word, dear God, and I pray that we become doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Lord, I'm asking that you bless everyone that is represented and listening on the phone tonight or either through the internet, dear God. Bless them in the blessings that they're in need of. Heavenly Father, in the situation that's going on in the studio with the mechanics, Heavenly Father, I know you could straighten it out. Lord, I'm going to lean and depend on your unchanging hand. Lord, help us, guide us, and protect us. Give us the strength, dear God, to do what you would want for us to do in our lives. Lord, I decrease as you increase. Lord, I realize that this is not about me, but it's all about you. Have your way with this program tonight, dear God, and let your word not return void, dear God. And I'm going to be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, it's Wednesday night inspiration. And for those who have your Bibles, I pray that you have 1 Corinthians 10 through 13. And I just want to tell you tonight that the book of Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul. And if you look at the first chapter in the book of Corinthians, you'll see this because Paul identified himself. The Corinthians were the people that lived in the city of Corinth. You got to know some things about the Bible. And every time you want to read the Bible and you want to explore through it and you want to grow with it, you got to realize some things, that everything written in the Bible was written by man, but it was inspired by God. God himself speak to man in the Bible. When you read in the things of the Bible, you are hearing the voice of God. You see, the Bible is a book of divine instruction, a life manual designed by God himself for his creation, for daily living. You know, no matter what the question is, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you need to know, no matter what you need to do, no matter what you need to stop doing, the answer is in the Bible. You see, the Bible offered comfort in sorrow, guidings in perplex time, advice for our problems, rebuke for our sins, and daily inspiration for our every need. You see, as we explore the writing of Paul, we should ask the question, why God inspired Paul to write this book? And what is God saying to me with this book? Whenever you read a scripture or a verse or a chapter in a book in the Bible, once you finish reading, you have to say, God, what is the message for me? We have to ask God, what is the message for me? And God will surely reveal it through the Holy Spirit to give you some inspiration and let you know what it's all about. You see, the Apostle Paul had founded the church in Corinthians. But a few years had passed, and after leaving the church, the Apostle Paul heard some disturbing reports about the Corinthian church. You see, the people who had begun to follow Christ were now, as we would say, backsliding and picking up different ideas and switching things around and doing it their own way. And they were full of pride, and they was excusing sexual immorality. You see, spiritual gifts was being improperly used. And there was rampant misunderstanding of key Christian doctrine. You see, that's what had started happening in Corinthians. And the word got back to Paul, and Paul wrote the first letter of Corinthians in an attempt to restore the Corinthians church to its foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Many of the problems and questions the Corinthian church was dealing with, it's amazing is that it's still some of the things that we are experiencing today in church. You see, churches today still struggle with division and immorality and how to properly use spiritual gifts. Y'all might know what I'm talking about. The book of 1 Corinthians very well could be have written to the church of New Orleans, to the New Orleanians. And we would do well after visiting a Bible and reading a Bible to heed Paul's warnings and apply them to ourselves. You see, despite all of the rebukes and corrections that was being given, 1 Corinthians brings our focus back to where it should be. You know, even though Paul had to tell him, you know, sexual immorality is not right and you know, you're using the gifts out of order, every time and he taught and he gave warnings, he gave instructions, he also had the conversation to come back to the foundation, which is Christ. Tonight we will explore the 10th chapter. This chapter is called an example of a warning for Israel. That's what this is, the 1st through the 13th. It's a warning that they use that for Israel, and he was giving us this as an example. You see, in this chapter, Paul used the story of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years to illustrate to the Corinthians believers the folly of the misuse of freedom. You know, they was just doing it any kind of way. They had began to get lax, and they start compromising, and they start worshiping and obeying any kind of way they want. You see, they misused the freedom that God had given them. And they were in danger because they had become overconfident. Overconfidence will get us every time, because the Bible teaches that we should not think more of ourselves than we ought to. But there's a flip side of that coin, because if you don't think enough of yourself, it's also a problem. But we have to learn to have balance and know who we are, who God has created us to be. Or we could go too high, or we could go too low. You see, Paul had just warned the Corinthians about their lack of self-discipline. You see, when Paul was talking to the people and what God was doing for the people, back in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. You see, God was right there with his people. The things they needed, he was providing it on a daily basis. He was right there with them. He would talk to the prophet. That's why they had prophets in the old time. The people would cry out to the prophet or cry out to God about what they needed, and God gave the prophets a word to tell the people, or he gave the provisions that the people were in need. But you see, when we came to the New Testament and Jesus had came and died, now he left the Holy Spirit, so today God lives inside of his people. He goes on to describe Paul in this chapter, in his 1st through the 13th. He goes on to describe the Israelites who, despite seeing God's miracle and how he had cared for them. You see, at that time, God had parted the Red Sea. Come on now, y'all remember that. He provided miraculously, he provided provisions of mammon from heaven daily for their needs. He gave them water out of rock. They misused their freedom. They rebelled against God and fell into immorality, and they had a lot of idolatry going on. And we know that idolatry is when we are worshiping idol gods. Here is an example in the Bible to show us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. If we learn from others' mistake, God gave us examples in a book. He gave us an example of Job. Be patient. He gave us example of Joseph. Just hold on and I'm a take care of you. He gave us examples of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace. He delivered them from them. See, God gives us all of these examples and things to let us know that what he did for them, he'll do it for you. God also giving you examples to say some of the mistakes that they made for lusting after evil and the punishment that he gave them, you can be punished as well. So even though there's instructions and there's examples of what to do to get success, there's also examples for what not to do to create disaster in your life. You see, the Bible teaches us we're going to sow what we reap. And all that happened to them, God delivered them through them all. Now, right here, you know, I'm telling you, between the 1st and the 13th, Paul was talking to the Israelites. And we're going to start with the first verse. And the first verse said, "Moreover, brother, I would not that ye shall be ignorant how all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." He's talking about the Israelites in the wilderness. And the second verse saying, "All were baptized into Moses in a cloud and in a sea." And the third, "And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and all drank the spiritual drink that they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now, this, what I'm telling you now, is in the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament. And Paul is using it now in the book of Corinthians to bring back things to their memory. And 5 say, "With many of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Y'all know the story of the wilderness. Not everybody that started on a journey to the promised land made it. If y'all remember the story in High Gold, they had a generation that died out because of their disobedience. God said no one over the age of 21 would get it to the promised land. So in their wandering in the wilderness, all of that generation died out. You know how they start calling our black youth X-out generation, generational X? Well, this is a generation that's in the Bible. If you go to the book of Numbers and the book of Exodus, you would see how they did not make it to the promised land. You see, when they first started their journey and left out of Egypt, the journey was supposed to take so many days, but it wound up taking 40 years. Come on now. See, disobedience can make you, you know, you have to wait longer than it would have took if you would have just followed the word of God. You see, in the 6th verse say, "Now these things were our examples to the intent that we not left lust after evil things as they also lusted." So what is he saying? He said, all right, I'm going to tell you this. He said, this is what they did. He's saying this is, he's giving us in the scripture what they got. He said, God gives examples. So take this example that is being given to you tonight, and as they did things that didn't give them much success, that you shouldn't do it. Because you see, a wise man learned from someone else's examples. A wise man will learn from someone else's mistakes and not make the same mistakes themselves. You see, here Paul is using the Israelites as an example of spiritual immaturity, shown in their overconfidence and lack of discipline. The cloud and the sea mentioned here was the Israel escape from slavery in Egypt. You see, God gave them divine guidance and protection. You see, he would let the cloud be in the sky, and whenever they seen the cloud, they would get up and they would start moving. And when he didn't want them to move, he would remove the cloud, and they knew to stop. You see, God was divinely directing them. And that's the same way God is doing in our life when we pay attention and we listen. You see, and then when they came out and they got to a place where they couldn't go anymore because there was the big sea there, and they got to it and they said, Lord, our enemy's going to take me. And he said, because we have no way to escape. But you see, ain't nothing too hard for God. And what God did at that time, he divided the Red Sea and told them to come on across. Come on now. God was showing them. How would we be, I wonder, if God spoke to us today in a voice that we could hear him, and some of the things we had in our way, he said, okay, I'm going to deliver it and I'm going to move it right now. You know, we would probably think that we would be so much more obedient. But these people were walking, and God was talking through his leaders, and God was hearing what they were saying, and he was answering, and he was doing miracles. He had parted the sea. He let the cloud be in the sky. And yet they were disobedient. You see, and when he talked about they was baptized in Moses, what he was saying was, as we was united in Christ by baptism, the Israelites was united under Moses' leadership because God had ordained him to do the specific job that was before them. God spoke to God for the people, and God delivered to Moses for the people. You know, and when they talk about the food, the spiritual food, you see, mammon came from the sky daily. And the mammon itself was not spiritual, but the way that God delivered the provision to the people. The mammon would come out the sky when they said they got hungry. Every day it would just fall on the ground like dew, and they ate it. And God told them, eat what you need for today. Don't save none, because I'm going to supply your needs daily. Oh, yes, and there was some that decided to take the mammon and hide it and keep it because they wasn't trusting God fully. And they know if they had some mammon and they had so much that came, they would take it and wrap it up and try to put it on the side for tomorrow just in case God didn't deliver. But that mammon they put up was sterile, and the worms would come out of it, and it was no good, and they couldn't use it anyway. And then I guess that's the way they realized and understood, okay, it don't even make no sense to put nothing on the side. And God delivered that daily, because God wants us to know. He say in the word, in the prayer that we pray, our Father pray, he say, give us this day our daily bread. God wants you to know that he's going to supply your needs daily. You know, the past is already gone. The future is not promised. Look at the obituary notice. And what we're doing, we're living in a day, and as we can really say, we're living in a moment. But we got to trust God. You see, God spoke these words in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. And even when he was proclaiming the coming of the Messiah and a plan for salvation for our lives, I just want you to know this was the book of Exodus in the Bible. And so it is nothing new. God's been looking out for you before the foundation of the world. He had a master plan, and everything that messed up, he fixed up. So you got to realize that God has orchestrated everything that you need to live a righteous life before the beginning of the world. And if we go to the 7th verse now, the 7th verse say, be ye idolatrous, neither be ye idolatrous, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down and ate and drank and rose up to play. Idolatrous. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. You know, a lot of people say, you know, we do what we want, and we've been doing what we want so long not always in obedience to God. Some people don't even pray. Some don't study the word of God. Some don't fellowship with one another. Some don't even take time to even think about God. You know, and we have gotten so comfortable, like they say it in the upper verse, to don't overestimate yourself. You see, God said he's a jealous God. It's in the word of God. And God is showing you right here that these people who disobeyed, and God said in this script, this verse, understand what it said. It said, neither let us, well, the upper seven said, talked about idolatries and people doing and eating, sleeping and playing as if, you know, God don't count. And then he said in the 8th verse, neither let us fornicate as some of us committed and fell in one day 23,000. That means 23,000 fell dead that day because God was just tired. Now, we could look at the examples of God, and we could say we're getting by, and we could do it where we want, and most of us think we got so much time to get it right and all of that. But if you go through the word of God, you're going to see, first of all, God destroyed the whole world with Noah time, in Noah's time, and saved Noah and his sons and his son's wife. Don't play with God. Don't sit down and think you afforded the privilege to take the time that you want. Don't think you could get it right when you get it when you want. You don't know what God's time is. We know that the Bible teaches us that our time is not God's time. God came and kept talking about the sin that was in Solomon and Gomorrah. And didn't he wipe it out? God say, I'm a jealous God. But God's timetable is not our timetable, but don't fool yourself. In the first verse, he said, I would not have it that you be ignorant. So don't be ignorant to the facts. God is in control. God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. And we should obey him. And the 9th verse said, let us tempt Christ. Don't tempt Christ. As some of them tempted and were destroyed of servants. See, they was talking about the two verses above. They had began to have idolatry. You know, the idolatry was coming in because when they escaped out of slavery in Egypt, I'm going to show you how good God is. God told them, when y'all get ready to leave, he said, go to all of the Egyptians and you ask them for whatever you want. He said, I guarantee they're going to give it to you. Because you see, they hadn't saw the hand of God, and they was respecting God enough till they was willing to listen and submit. So they had came out with all this jewelry and gold and things like that, and they had it. They came out. He didn't send them out of slavery empty-handed. That's why God ain't going to send you out of some of your situations empty-handed if you trust him. But you see, you know, they started getting bored, and they start leaning to their own understanding, and they start doing it any kind of way, and they start doing it the way they wanted to do it. And Moses had went to talk to God in their behalf, and they thought he took too long. So they decided to take all of the gold and silver and everything that God had given them, and they made idol gods to worship. Now, that's low down. You know, but that's what the people did. And we, in the book of Corinthians, in the New Testament, and Paul is allowing this to be in the word of God for our instructions and examples for what not to do. That's why the first through the 13 verses written here. He said, don't tempt God because you're trying to put God to a test. And then the 9th verse said, the 10th verse, and neither mumber as some of them mumbered and were destroyed by the destroyer. You better keep your attitude right. God had delivered them out of Egypt, and they said their clothes never went bad in Egypt. Their sandals never wore out, and he gave them food from heaven. Food from heaven, mammon, daily food. they wanted water, and he would have Moses to hit a rock, and they would get water, and yet they was mumbling. You know, God is doing so many things in so many of our lives, and we can't see the forest for the tree. You know, and there's some people who no matter what you do for them, it's never enough. That's the sin of ingratitude. You could give and give and give and give and give, and then they want you to give and give and give and give more. And they never gave appreciation for what you have already done. Don't be like the Israelites, y'all. Paul took time and put that in his word in 1 Corinthians to let us know what to do and what not to do, and use this example, and we can learn from the mistakes of others, and we might not have to go through it. And just as well as we can learn from the successes of others and do it. Because you see, if what the word of God say and you do it and it say that it'll produce a blessing, you're going to get it. But if it's going to produce a curse, you're going to get it as well. You see, here he gives us examples of what the people was doing. And it's amazing that after seeing that all God had done and what he was doing in their life, and he had promised them that he would send a Messiah, which was the rock, and then he was taking care of their immediate life needs and everything, and he was going to take care of their spiritual needs all the way through eternity with salvation through Jesus Christ. And it wasn't enough. You see, they still went about their business doing what was pleasing in their own eyes. I got to ask you this question. Isn't that some of what is happening today? Do you rule your life on what you want to do? And first thing I could tell you, your eyes and what you could see gonna always get in your trouble. Because if you're looking only with your eyes, you're not looking and walking in faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you could see it, you don't have to have faith. You see, my faith is I believe God's going to supply all of my needs according to my riches and glory. I believe with my faith that he's going to work all things out together for my good. I believe he said one day I'm going to be the lender and not the borrower. Do you have faith to believe that? Do you have faith to achieve that? Do you have faith to walk towards that? We are experiencing provisions of God in our life right now, all of us. First of all, if you're on the phone, you got ears so you can hear provision for God. You know, if you're breathing, you got air, a provision for God. Let's not get it twisted. We got shelter, provision for God, because everything belongs to God. We are only stewards. And yet we go about our business doing it any kind of way we want, and we continue to disobey. And we got to stop trying to put God to a test. If he said it, just do it. It is amazing how God called Moses to record these experiences for our warning, example, and instruction. You see, one of the reasons God calls Moses to record the experiences of the children of Israel was that he knew that Paul and the Corinthians believer would need this one day. See, that's how awesome God is. And he knew I would, and probably you, I'm not sure, would need it one day. He knew that we would face similar crisis and situations. Just as God had the Corinthians in mind, that's the way he had us in mind. You see, all of the pain, the hurt, the financial burden, the feelings of being unloved, sickness, fear, doubt, and all sorts of weaknesses, he knew they would come in our lives. Now, keep that, because when we go to the 13th, they say it was supplied, he had supplied in his word for us instructions and words of encouragement. You know, I love this verse here. It's a verse in the book of Psalms. It's 38 and I'm sorry, 34:8. Write it down if you need to. And it said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts him." And remember, when we trust God, we are saying that God knows best. You see, God's plan for our lives is complete, and he has covered all of the bases necessary for our success. All you have to do is believe it. God never allowed you to be tempted. Follow what I'm saying. Tempted more than you can bear. And he always supply a way for you to escape. Then we get to the 12th and the 13th verse. The 12th verse say, wherefore let not him think he stand. Let me start over. 12. Wherefore let him that think he stands and take heed lest he fall. He said, don't think more of yourself than you ought to. Don't do that. He said, you think you got it going on? You got it going on. You don't have financial problems in your life. Well, glory be to God. You got a good job. Glory be to God. You got a good education. Glory be to God. You got your children in order. Glory be to God. But one day, Mr. Sickness might knock on your door. Don't be overconfident. Don't try to put God to the test, and don't think you got it going on, and that is all by your doing. Because remember, we only stewards. And I want you to know tonight that, you know, you always heard, and I always did too, that God don't put no more on you than you could bear. Listen to me closely. We always heard that God don't put no more on you than you could bear. I want you to know that this statement, maybe, which is true, but I want you to know it's not in the Bible. So right now I'm going to take time to tell you what the scripture really says. And this is the scripture that people use for no more than you could bear. But let us look at the scripture and what it actually says. So what the scripture says is there has no temptation taken you but such that is common to man. Follow it in your Bibles now. There has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But with all the temptations, make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear. The scripture didn't say God put no more on you than you could bear. He said he will not allow you to be tempted above all that you're able to bear. And he said with every temptation, he'll make a way out. That's good news, yeah, y'all. That is so exciting, and that's such good news till it's almost unbelievable for me to understand. You see, this scripture teaches us a powerful principle. If we belong to him, God will not allow any difficulty to come our lives that we are not capable of bearing. Temptations now. So anything that comes our way, anything that tempts us, any tragedy that befalls us, we are capable of overcoming it and achieving spiritual victory. You see, God don't tempt man, because it's in James, he said, let no man say that he is tempted, that I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempt he any man. God ain't going to tempt you. He ain't going to let you tempt him. He will test you. And the scripture above this told us don't even try to put him to the test. So let's get it right. Now, I want you to know this does not mean life will always be easy. On the contrary, the fact that we may need a way to escape, which is written in the Bible, indicates that God sometimes allows difficult trials, tribulations, and tests to come our way. However, we must be careful never to make excuses for our trials and tribulation that may be a result of our own doing. Let's not get it twisted. God gave you a job. You go to work and you worked at your job. You get your paycheck. You spend all of your paycheck on everything you want. Now it's time to pay your bills. You don't have the money and you look at it as if God didn't provide you enough. Don't make excuses for what you are doing by your own wrongdoing. Don't throw them in a basket for what God may be testing you for. God wants us to be in position. He wants us to do right with all things in every aspect in our life. And as the record said that was played early, when you have done all you could do properly, when you lined up with the word of God properly, then you could stand and see the salvation of God. But don't go around messing up and living any kind of way and doing it all kind of ways, and then you want to hold God for it. God lets us know that any temptation that come our way has already happened to man. What he's saying, nothing that can happen to you has not already happened to somebody. You know, some things come in our lives and we be so overwhelmed and we really believe that we are the only ones that had that happen to us. So we get this big pity party. God's saying nothing happened to you ain't already happened to man, because remember, there's nothing new under the sun. So I ask you to not go around asking this question, why me? Because if you ask me why me, I would maybe have to give you the answer, why not you? And then I'll probably have to say, if not you, then who? Because you remember, God is in control of everything and everything in our lives, and God is faithful. Hallelujah. You know, Romans 8:28 is so familiar, but it's so true. And we know that all things work together for our good to them that are called according to his purpose. We may not believe that we can overcome. We may doubt our strength. We may doubt that our strength is enough when we're going through some things. You know, they have some circumstances and situations that happen in our lives that we thought was just too much and we couldn't bear it. But look at it. If I ask you to close your eyes and think about the worst experience and time you had in your life, and right now you here on this phone, and that's letting you know that that too did pass. Come on now, y'all. And then the other thing is, you think that God is not showing up, and you think, you know, this scripture about you, he's going to give you a way to escape is not true. But God is faithful. But the other part is, you see, when you feel like you knocked down, you beat out, you have no more to give, you have to check yourself. What attitude are you looking at this situation? You know, you say, oh, I don't have the strength. How you know you don't have the strength? You see, the other thing is, you know, God won't put no more than you could bear, but you don't know exactly how much you could bear. So sometime when it seems like over your bearing and you feel like it's too much and you feel you done came to your end, God created you. He know what's in you, and he know you got a little more. So you see, he comes. He's an on-time God, but he's never late, and he always show up. So let God fix it for you. You don't know how much you could bear, but he does. And when he come, he's on time. Within ourselves, we are not afforded the privilege of knowing all things, so we don't really know how much we can bear. So as I close tonight, ask this question. What does it mean to overcome trials? It means the trials do not overcome our faith or our position as children of God. Now that's deep. No matter what you go through, no matter what you have, no matter what you don't have, it do not interfere with your position as a child of God. And that's really enough. We don't think so, because you see, we got our sights on all these earthly things and all these earthly schedules that we done created in our own mind for whatever. We think we don't have enough, but you see what they say. It means that trials do not overcome our faith and our position as children of God, and we will go through the trials intact if you hold on and trust God. Our eternal destination is not in danger because we are kept by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us as a down payment on our salvation. Hallelujah. No trial can overcome our salvation, because our salvation is of God. Once saved, always saved. God will never leave you. He won't let you be tempted where you can lose your salvation. Understand what we're talking about, overcoming your fate and your position in God. You cannot be tempted beyond that, and God will always give you a way out. Understand what he's saying. You see, what I'm saying is we look at everything that's temporal and base our all in it. But God is mostly concerned with our eternal. Therefore, the child of God can stand firm through the trial kept by God's hands. I want you to know that this is the proof of our salvation and that it is real, and our reward for heaven that awaits us. Understand that. Nothing can mess with your salvation. And I want you to know, although we are in spiritual battles, Satan has no authority over the believers in Christ. God has given us his word to guide us, the Holy Spirit to enable us, and the privilege of coming to him anywhere, at any time, to pray about anything. He has also assured us that no trial will test us beyond our ability to bear it. And he will also supply a way out for us to escape. Hallelujah. And I'm going to leave you with this. And I'm going to ask you to try it. See what they told us, some of our ways that we could go to God. We could pray. We could read the word of God. All that is our tools to help us through trials and tribulation if we really use them. But I'm going to tell you this tonight. And I pray that it could become a part of you, because I know it worked. And I'm going to close with this. Stop speaking to God about how hard your temptations are, but start speaking to your temptations about how big your God is. And that's our lesson for tonight. And I see that the studio got straight on his own. Well, I ain't going to say on his own, but God got it straight. And I couldn't open up the mic for the young man that was going to pray earlier and everything like that. But now it's open up. See, God does what he wants. God is just good. And I trust him. And when I say I trust God with my whole heart, I believe the whole Bible. I believe Revelation. I believe Genesis to Revelation. I didn't tell you I'm able to achieve it at this time, but as Paul, who wrote this book of Corinthians, saying, but I'm pressing towards the mark of the high calling, which is Christ Jesus. It is my desire to become better and better and better. And just like the lesson was last week, please be patient with me, because God is not through with me yet. And I ask God every day to allow me to be patient with people. But right now, I see we have a caller. We have the one button press. I'm going to see if they would like to say something. This is a caller. The number is 504-729. Caller, your one is pressed, and it could have been helping me earlier. So if you have something to say, you can say it at this time. And if not, I'll go in back and close your mic. 504-729-70. If you would like to say anything, you can say it at this time. All right. I have another caller that has the one button open, and I'll open that line. The phone number is the area code is 281-809. Your button is pressed. If it's a mistake, you don't have to speak, but if you like to speak, you can speak at this time.
Hey, Tanae.
Hello, Tamika.
I wanted to tell everybody good night. And to say thank you for the word, as always, is uplifting and encouraging. And I wanted to say that every week I tell you I appreciate for what you do. And I really do. And being able to break things down and have it as to where we can understand it. And I don't know what nobody else get out of it, but each night that I've been turning in, I hear you saying just to lean on God, trust God. and to pretty much get in the Word, get familiar with Him, know Him because He loves us. And to continue to have patience and stuff with ourselves as we get acquainted. Because I told you before that I really don't know the Bible, and I wasn't ashamed to say that, and you said don't be. So tuning in weekly and doing my own homework and things on my behalf, I have a better understanding. So I wanted to say thank you, and I love y'all, and again to everybody, good night.
And I thank you for calling in, Tamika. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice, my sweet niece from Houston, Texas. And I, what just came to me just now that was in the lesson, they say it like, don't overestimate yourself. And I told you the flip side to that was underestimating yourself. But having a balance is knowing the facts. When you spoke, you don't know it. God's found favor in that. And He's going to give you everything you desire, and you're going to know, and you're going to know, and you're going to grow and grow. But you see, that's the other side to that, Tamika. They have people who think they know the Bible, and they think they know it better than they know it. So sometimes you can't learn. And if you already all the way there, because see me, I learn every day, and that's why I almost beg and plead with listeners that can call in and give another injection, because I want to hear what people have to say, because I confess to you guys all the time, I don't know everything, and nobody does. And even if we live to be 100, they're going to still be things we don't know, but we're supposed to get and know and grow. Paul talked about the people being immature. We want to be grown up in Christ. We want to reach maturity. And that's what you're doing, Tamika. And God will not not give you what you're looking for. So I want to let you know that. And I want to say thank you. And keep calling in. And I thank God for you. And I pray that God's blessings be upon you. And not just you, for all of the callers and all of the ones that's listening on the internet and everybody. God, I thank God for you guys. And I hope you call back Wednesday, Tamika.
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other caller would like to make a comment? Anyone have a question or concern? Anyone would like to lead us out with prayer? Anyone would like to give a word of encouragement? Anyone want to say anything about the lesson we had tonight? And I'm going to ask this tonight as well that I'll start doing. If anybody have a specific topic that they would like to talk about, if you press the one button on your phone right now and you give us that topic, we could try to use that and have it for the meetings that's coming in. If you got something you've been thinking about, if there's some scriptures you haven't really understood, if there's some struggles in your life you want some answers to, if you press the one button on your phone and you bring up the situation, circumstances, or just something you want clarity on, or just something you think you would enjoy, press the one button on your phone, and that's the lessons that we would explore. And since no one pressed the button, I guess the lessons that God has given me is the ones that y'all want. But it's always open for you guys. Let me tell you this. Remember this. This is our Bible study. This is not Diane's Bible study. This is our Bible study. This is the time that we set aside to come together to fellowship in the Word of God and explore what God has for us. And when we show up at 8:30, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is here. So all of us, they say, if two or more are gathered in my name, I'm going to be in the midst. And I got a bunch of callers in the studio. So I know he's here. But it is not my Bible study. It is our Bible study. So that's why I'm trying to give the opportunity. If it's something you want, if it's something you think you need, let us share what you know, where we are and what we need. So if anybody have a lesson they would like I said, and no one pressed the one button, but it's always open. You always have the option. Anybody want to pray, sing a song, or lead us in prayer, ask for a prayer, or pray for somebody, or bring a prayer from somebody else in need, you press your one button, and we'll include them in prayer. Well, right now, it's that 9:30 hour. I always promise to be through in 1 hour. We started at 8:30. It is now 9:30. So right now I'm going to do a prayer. And once I do the prep, if every people are still on the line because they love to listen to the music, I'm going to allow the music to continue to play until everybody is out of the studio. But right now, let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the word that you gave Paul that we could see it and use it for examples in our lives, dear God. Let us not be like the Israelites, dear God, and let us not overstate ourselves as being more than we are, dear God, and teach us not how to not underestimate ourselves, but let us have balance in you and in your word. And Lord, please, I just thank you that the word went forth, that it won't return void. Lord, the scripture did not say that God never put more on you than you could bear, but he said he do not put more that you could be tempted. You cannot be tempted above where he won't give you a way to escape, which we know that you will always deliver us, just like he delivered the children of Israel, the Israelites out of Egypt, dear God. Hallelujah. That's what you're telling us. Let us look at the word for what it's really saying, and let us grab out the word what we really need for our lives, and let us grab out the word and see how awesome you are. And Lord, let us realize that everything you did for them, you'll do it for us. Lord, bless everybody that's listening in, dear God, and bless their homes, dear God. Bless their finances. Bless their health. Bless their children, dear God. Bless their jobs. Let them go on a job and not have problems, dear God. Let them take care the job, dear God. Take care the stumbling blocks, dear God, because you also say in your word, you will make our enemies our footstool. And people have to watch what they do with the children of God, how they treat the children of God, how they look at the children of God, because you got to be God's child, and you got to keep yourself in position. We have to keep ourselves in a position to receive all of the blessings that God has for our life. Lord, I thank you, I honor you, and I give you glory. Lord, I pray that the word tonight will edify somebody, that Satan will be horrified and you will be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and thank God. Well, we finished with the lesson for tonight. I thank each and every one of you for coming to the broadcast again. I pray that you be back on next Wednesday, if the Lord say the same. And I look forward to being with you guys again. And I pray that the Holy Ghost give me a word from high that can be nourishment to your soul. It'll be like marrow to your bone. And I'm going to play the music. But before I press the music on, because I won't return after I start the music. If anybody would like to say anything, this is the last call. This is the last chance. I'm asking that you just press the one button on your phone, and I will open the mic. So as I say always, until we meet again, and I just want everybody to know that I love them, and you can't do nothing about it. And I will continue to love and pray to God on our behalf. The Inspirational Wednesday Night Bible Study, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. Y'all be blessed. Let the word of God lead you through this week. Let it nourish our soul. We have to meditate on it, y'all, because if y'all cut hang your phone up and go start forget about it, it's gonna forget about you. So meditate on the word of God, what God has given you. In Jesus' name, amen. And here we have music.
Check it out, y'all.
I've been counting my life.
I'm tired and I want to give up.
I've been wondering why.
Why's the world getting so crazy?
Still somehow I believe.
Come too far to die now.
Or survive.
If you're a survivor, get up.
Money.
Thank you
for the light.
Was Kirk Franklin saying, you're not, it's not over till it's over. You have the victory in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to play another song. Whenever y'all finish, that'll be the end. And this record is Donnie McKirkland. He said, when you've done all you can do, stand. But when God say do all you can do, you got to do what you got to do. You got to be in position. You got to have the right attitude. You got to be and follow the word of God. And when you've done all that you can do, then you stand. That's Donnie McKirkland. He said, don't bow and don't bend. Just stand. God is going to see you through. You got to trust him. And this is a song by the William Brothers, and this, I think it's real appropriate because the records say Jesus will fix it. Let him fix it for you. In our way. And this is Yolanda Adams. This is Yolanda Adams. Open up your heart. Well, that's not coming on. So I see that we still have listeners. And I would play some more music because you're still on the line. So I'm going to play let's see what's going to come up for you guys. Thank you for your patience. Evidently, because you guys, some of you guys are still on the line, I would have to assume that you like the music. So I'm going to kind of find some more music, and I'm going to play it at this time. And I hope you enjoy, because there's a message in a song. A song could uplift you. It could give you words of encouragement. It could give you the desire to want to go on in the things of God. And for some reason, the music is not coming on. So what I'm going to do is have to play one of the songs we heard earlier, because it's already programmed, and we'll listen to Grateful, and that would be a great way to end our session for tonight. And thank God for all that he done. And we should be grateful, no matter what state we're in, no matter where we are right now in our lives. We should be grateful. And that's not coming on either. So I guess I can say good night. And I pray that you'll be back on Wednesday. And I pray that God make your way easy this week and give you all of the blessings and the desires of your heart. Because he said, what good would it do for him to withhold anything from his children? God loves you. It is God's desire that all of us and everyone be saved. So that's it for tonight, and I say to everyone, good night, and God be with you until he allows us to be together again. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.